Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomish Voice Lamed Gimel. We begin at the Mishnah, five lines off the top of the Amud. We have a fellow who's calling on his Edom, on his witnesses, to come testify on his behalf regarding his claim against his fellow, against his friend. So he approaches the Edom and requests that they cooperate and they attend the court case and testify. They turn down his offer by claiming they have no clue, and they swear to that effect that they have no ability to help him, they have no information in this case. Turns out that they lied. They have violated Shvuas HaEdus, in which case they bring a korban. Says the Mishnah, Mashbiani Aleichem. So he approaches the Edom, and he enswears them. He imposes a shvua upon them. He commits them by way of an oath. Im lo tavoyu v'tu'idun, if you don't come and testify on my behalf, that I have one of the following, or all of the following claims against somebody. Sheyesh li biyad ploni pikadei. I have placed an item in my friend Shimon's possession. He refuses to give it back to me. He claims he denies it. Utsumas yad, or a halva, Rashi says, a loan. He borrowed money and he is denying it. V'gezel, he stole from me. V'aveda, he found my lost item. I'd like to come testify on my behalf that in fact these claims are valid. They respond with a no. They deny, they turn him down. Shvur, she'ino nu yoidin l'cha'edus, we have nothing to testify on your behalf. We have no clue. So it was one shvur in response to all these items. How many liabilities do they have? Ein chayoven ala achas. In this single denial, they only have one liability, one karma. However, if they itemized their denial in response to his requests, look, we swear that we can't help you with respect to all those claims, and they itemize them. With respect to your pikadin claim, that's the loan, v'gezel, v'aveda. Since they itemized, they identified the items as they went along, it's a separate chiyuv, a separate violation, one per item. This triggers multiple violations, multiple karbanos, one per Shvuas HaEdus. So in the first case, it was lumped up together. It was just a blanket denial. So that's one chiyuv. In the second case, an itemized denial, separate chiyuvim. Here comes another similar scenario. So in the previous, it was items. And here it's, in the previous, it was different types of claims. Here it's different types of, different items, different materials that he's claiming. Mashbiani Aleichem. So once again, he approaches the Edom and summons them to testify. And he imposes upon them a shvua to bind them. Im loitoy vayu v'tu'idu, if you don't come testify on my behalf, that she should be a plainly pikadin, that I have a pikadin, safekeeping in somebody's, possession, which entailed many, different types of materials. Chitin, usair, v'kusmin, wheat, barley, spelt. Please come help me extract my goods. And they respond with a blanket denial. Shvur, she'ein, anu, yoidin, cha'edus. You have nothing to be of help to you. How many liabilities? Ein chayavan al achas. Once again, it's only one single chiyuv for this singular denial. But if they itemize their denial, Shvosh, ein anu yoidin l'chaedus, we have no clue with respect to your various items. Sheyesh l'chabiyat ploini chitin, and they itemize the chitin usair v'kusmin. That separates their denials. It's deemed separate violations, and therefore the chayav and alklachas v'achas on each one independently. What about if it's knas related? Not actual compensation for actual loss, but it's with respect to some sort of fine that a Bezdin would typically impose on this fellow. So please come help me extract that money from my opponent, who's meant to pay me a fine. Mashbiani aleichem, im leitavoy v'tiyiduni, please come help me. Sheyesh li biyat ploini nezek v'chatzi nezek, either his animal damaged my property, in which case he has to pay full damages, nezek v'chatzi nezek. Or if the animal was tame, right, it came as a surprise when he gored, attacked my animal, in which case the fellow is only liable for 50% of those damages. And according to the, we'll see in the Gemara, according to one shita, this is a knas. Because it came unexpectedly, we don't hold him accountable, the owner of the animal, so it's just a penalty so that he ramp up his, so he's more vigilant and more careful. Or tashlim a kefil. I have a kefil claim against a fellow who stole. So a thief repays the actual principal plus double, right? Plus another payment. That's the kefil knas. Tashlim bar chamisha, or if it was an animal, sometimes he pays back four times as much, five times as much. Vishonas ish plenty aspiti. Come testify that that fellow was involved with my daughter forcefully. Upito aspiti, or he convinced her to be with him, in which case there are various payments due. Some are considered actual payment for loss, like loss of value or embarrassment. Some are considered knas, penalty payments. V'sheikani bni, testify that my son struck me. Rashi explains, there was no actual wound, in which case he would be chayav misa, but he struck me in a way that he should be paying me for embarrassment that he caused me. V'shechaval b'chaveri, or that my friend struck me, and this time it says shechaval, not just he hit me, he wounded me. When did this happen? On Yom Kippur. V'shehidik eskadishi, or he torched my granary, caused me damage. B'yom Kippurim, and Rashi explains, on Yom Kippur there's no chiv misa for doing these things. On Shabbos there's chiv misa for doing a chavala for wounding or lighting a fire. But in Kippur, there's no chiv misa through the Bezdin. It's only kares from heaven. So in this case, theoretically, there would be monetary liability for doing these things. So in all these, with respect to all these claims, if he imposed a shvur on these eidim to come help him collect these monies, they turn him down, they refuse, and they deny with a shvur, hare'ilu chayav, they're liable to shvur seidus. Iboilo, here comes a question. Mashbia eidei knas mahu. Please come help me with respect to collecting a fine. Now the halacha is that a moida b'knas is pater, which means a fellow who's accused of doing something which would trigger a penalty. If he's moida, if he comes and admits it on his own, by his own volition, he's pater from paying that knas. Once he acknowledges, he's off the hook. However, there's a machlekes. What happens if Edom come along after his admission? Moide beknas, and after vacharkach, then Edom show up to tell us about the same story. According to Reb Elazar Shimon, he has to pay. As long as it was just his admission, he's potter. But if it was followed by the Edom, now we incriminate him based on the Edom testimony, and he has to pay the knas. Whereas according to Rabbanon, moide beknas, potter is a permanent state, once he admits, it's off the record, it cannot be reactivated later on. So again, according to the letter of Shimon, even after he's moida on the knas, the door to the Bezdin remains open for the Eidim to come and indict him. According to Rabbanan, it's a done deal, he's pater. So back to our shayla. Mashbia eidei knas mahu. He calls on these Eidim to come testify on his behalf in order to possibly collect a fine, a penalty, the kefil or the, right, from his opponent. And they turn him down, they refuse, they make a shvur. What is their status? We all know that, we're going to see it later in the Gemara. Shvur se'edus, liability, is specific to monetary loss. Is this considered monetary loss? It's not money that he had in his hand. It's not like the case is in the Mishnah, a loan, a deposit. Money which is mine, I'm just trying to get back. By refusing to cooperate and testify, you're causing me loss. Directly causing me financial loss. But uncollected fine, no, it's not really necessarily considered hafsed mamon. Why? Because in reality, he can get out of it by just admitting. Right? If he's moedib knas, he's potter. So your lack of cooperation, you know, the edim, you know, it isn't necessarily considered causing me loss, because even if they would come, perhaps he could be moedib knas. He could jump ahead of them and preempt their testimony and admit, in which case he's off the hook. So the fact that they didn't come testify doesn't necessarily mean I experienced financial loss as a result. Okay, so again, the question is like this. Mashbia ide knas mahu. If he was mashbia, edim, with respect to collecting a potential knas, what is their status? Mahu. So now, I'll leave the Rebbe of Shimon, according to that Shita, who says that even if the opponent is Moide, the door is still open to the Bezdin, which would allow the Edom to come and testify. So, by not coming, you are causing me financial loss. You're preventing me from collecting what's due to me, right? Aliva, the Rebbe of Shimon, there's no question that according to him, they're liable. They caused them have said mama in the Amar, because he says you have value Edom via Edom, even after the opponent is Maida. The Edom can come, testify and indict him, and require him to pay. So by not coming, you're causing me loss. Kiti boy lachalib the Rabbanon. However, according to Rabbanon, that's a good question, because they hold the Amri Maida b'knas v'achakach bo Edom pater. Once the fellow admits to his wrongdoing, he's absolved from any potential knas payment, even if Edom follow suit and testify against him. So it's not a done deal that these Edom who I'm summoning, who are refusing, who are not cooperating, have actually caused me financial loss, because all this fellow needs to do is run ahead into the Bezdin and admit. One second, we're not done yet. Let's elaborate further. We had this discussion yesterday regarding Goyrim Lamame, when something isn't actual money. It's just, you know, can cause me to earn money. How do we view that? Do we consider it Mame? So, you know, if the Edom could have, the classic case was the Eid Echad, right? The one Eid who could have come and forced the opponent to swear, in which case he perhaps would have admitted and paid. That's called Goyim L'Mamon. He could have gotten me some money in a roundabout way. But it isn't considered direct monetary loss, right? So what's the status of Goyim L'Mamon with respect to Shvuas HaEdus? If their non-cooperation caused me a loss by way of Gerim L'Mamin. It was just causation. So we had a machlokes yesterday, right? That according to Blazer of Shimon, it's actually the same name, but in a different context, Gerim L'Mamin, K'mamin Dami. We view it as money. And if you fail to help me on that account, it's as though you lost me money. You cost me, you know, loss of income. According to Rabbanon, the Edus must relate directly to, you know, a direct monetary claim, which incurred me monetary loss. But something which could perhaps have earned me some money in a roundabout way, by way of causation, like the Eid Echad, imposing the Shvua, which could have trapped him, and that's not considered actual monetary loss. So back to our story. It's a little complicated. Back to our story. He was Mashbia Edom to come help him with respect to collecting a potential fine, a knas. They turned him down. So again, if even after the Haidah, the fellow would have run to Bezdin and admitted, even afterwards, the Edom can still come and testify against him and compel him to pay. There's no question about their status, of course. They could have helped me earn my money. That's mumming. That's not gerim l'mumming. And they turned down the offer. They denied it. Uncooperative. They're a chayiv in shvuos eidus. However, according to the Shitas Rabbanon, that if the opponent, the accused, is meida b'knas, right, that absolves him completely. So that's an interesting question. Because the Rabbanon de Hassam, those Rabbanon who hold as such, that his haidah will affect a permanent p'tur, keman sviruluhu, with respect to defining what is considered money, is goyer in the moment considered or not? So regarding that question, which shita, which opinion do they adopt? Are they adopting Rav Shimon's local shita, local opinion over here in Masechta Shavuos? Well, according to him, even causation is considered mamon. So, in this case, as well, by not coming, by not participating and testifying, you're being geirim, certainly being geirim financial loss. True, had a fellow have jumped into Bezdin and admitted ahead of time, right? Too bad, absolves. Nothing I can do. But as long as that didn't happen yet, so you can't say it's actual loss because, you know, but it certainly qualifies as davar hagoyrim l'mamayim, right? Perhaps if you would have come with proper timing, you could have preempted him and testified and incriminated him and got him to pay. There's no question, according to that approach, they are chayiv. They caused me loss. Elik Rabbanan d'hach. Rather, however, according to the Rabbanan over here in Shavuos, who hold that unless it's actual loss, it's not reckoned. Elik Rabbanan d'hach adamri, who say, davar ha-goyim l'mamin, lav k'mamin dami. Causing, arranging for perhaps some, you know, monetary income is not considered mamin. It's not actual money. So they haven't really deprived me of actual money, unless it's considered mamayin. So my, what would be the status in this case? Kivan de ilu moida mifter, since theoretically, had that person admitted to the knas liability, he would be potter. So since he has a way out, lav mamayin kakafrali. When the edim turned down my offer and refused to cooperate, they weren't really depriving me of testimony that could earn me an income. It's not mumming. There isn't tangible money to speak of yet. It's all theoretics. Or you can say, well, right now, at this very point, has he admitted? No. So quickly, come testify. And if you fail to do so, you cause me loss. Direct loss. Hashta mia layoidi. Currently speaking, he has yet to admit. Why don't you come quickly and testify and get me my money? Interesting question. So, mashbiyai de knas, are they chayiv or not? Toshma, we're going to try to prove this from our Mishnah. Where we had these cases, right? Mashbiyani aleichem, imloi tavoyi v'teiduni. Please, he's calling on his edim to come testify. Sheish li biad ploini, right? All those cases, which some of them related to knas. Nezek v'chatzi nezek, right? The half payment, we explained, is a knas. Oh, here's an example of a knas. And Mishnah says that the Edim Achayiv for turning me down. Well, command Omar, Paul Ganisko Amayda. We're going like the opinion in back above a comma that even 50% payment is considered actual payment for actual loss. It's not a knas, it's compensation for loss. So it's not a knas, it doesn't relate to our discussion. Well, Hanichel Mand Omar, Paul Ganisko Amayda. That works according to that sheet. El Mand Omar, according to the other opinion, who says that half payment is really knasa, it's a fine. Michael Amemar. There you go. No, b'chatzin etzik tzroiris. The Mishnah is speaking about the half payment of tzroiris. So we thought that the animal gore that attacked, you know, was a vicious attack, and really he was tame, it wasn't really expected, so the chatzi nezek perhaps is called a knas, you know, to put you on notice. We're not speaking about that type of case. It was sreiris, he was walking along, the animal was, and typically there are pebbles ricocheting, and you know, broke a window. So that type of liability, which only amounts to 50% damage, that's the Gemara Bava Kama, Dilchasa Gemirila, really you should pay full. Because it wasn't by way of, you know, deliberate attack. It was just, you know, by the way, right, as he's walking along. So that's a derivative of regal, of damage that happens through just walking and, you know, stepping on something. So a ricochet is a telada, derivative of that, because this was an indirect act. In this case, really, you should be paying 100%, but the halacha, l'maish misinai, reduces it by 50%. D'chasa gemir la d'mamayinu. So we know that really it's 50%, but it's really mamayin. It is compensation for actual loss. It has the status of mamayin. It's labeled as such, and therefore doesn't relate to our discussion, which is a knas discussion. Tashmaya comes another ayah from the next cases in the Mishnah. Tashlamei kefil, the double payment of the thief, right? That's certainly knas. We're not speaking about the double payment. We're speaking about the actual principle, Mishum Karna, the Karen. That's the actual compensation for actual loss. Certainly that qualifies for Shavuos Eidos. What about the Tashlumei Dalad V'Hei, the 4 and the 5, that's for the animal that was stolen. Those are certainly fine related. Mishum Karna, again, the focal point is the first payment for the actual loss. That's not Knas. What about the next case? Shonas Ishplaini Upita Spita, this fellow interacted with my daughter. Mishum Boishu Pagam, the embarrassment, the loss of value. Those are actual compensations and not Knas. So then, Maika Mashmalam, what's the point of the Mishnah? Repeating all kinds of, you know, plain monetary claims. Kula Mamayimu, it's all moments. What's the point of discussing this over and over again? Says the Gemara, actually, there are some novelties in this Mishnah. Reisha Chadaka Mashmalam, Seifa Chadaka Mashmalam. If you look at the first cluster of cases, there's a Chiddush, there's something, you know, new there. And Seifa on the last cluster as well. How? Reisha Chadaka Mashmalam, the first cluster of cases, we have the Chiddush, the Chatzi Nezek Tzureres Memainu. That in fact, as we said before, the 50% liability for Tzureres is not considered a fine, even though it's an unusual amount. It's considered Memainu. And likewise, Seifa Chadaka Mashmalam, the second cluster of cases, we have a Chiddush, because it speaks about something that took place on Yom Kippur. So you would think the fellow is liable to Misa, to Karis, he's absolved from monetary payments. We all know that we apply Kimle, but the Rabbi Mene is you know, susceptible to the most severe punishment, death, and it absolves him of all monetary liabilities. V'shehidlik es Kaddishi v'Yom Kippur, and he torched my thing on Yom Kippur. So you would think he's Potter. The answer is no, he's Chayev. Lafuke mai, as opposed to which opinion? Lafukim der Bechunya ben Akana. He disagrees. The Sanya, Rabbi Nechunya Akana, Haya Oysu Yom Kippurim, Bishkishabas, Litashlum. He regarded these types of Yom Kippur episodes as though they took place on Shabbos. We all agree. There's no Chiyuv Mamay, Litashlum, with respect to monetary liabilities. Ma Shabbos Bechulu. And it's sort of short formed that just like on Shabbos, if one does a malacha, which generates Misa, although it's accompanied by some sort of financial liability, he's potter on the finances. Likewise, Yom Kippur, which generates kareis, death by heaven. We disagree, the Mishnah disagrees. That halacha of absolving from tashlumin is strictly to Shabbos, where the bezin is the one that imposes the misa. So we do the most severe one, and we let go of the lesser one, but Yom Kippur is a different story. The misa comes about through Hashem. It's not our, you know, we're not involved in that. Hence, we can impose financial liabilities upon this fellow. Toshma, here comes another raya, back to our question regarding Edim who theoretically could have come and cooperated and testified with respect to a Knas claim. Toshma, mashbiani aleichem, alu tevoi v'tiduni, of a braisa, he calls on his Edim with a shvua, please come testify that shehoitzi ish pleni shemra albiti. So his daughter married this fellow who publicized vicious, false rumors about his wife, his daughter, you know, this fellow's daughter, and turned out to be false, and he's chayv to pay me a knas, 100 kesef, Rashi says. And these fellows did not want to get involved, and, you know, chayav, and they're chayav, because they deprived him of his potential knas collection. But hoydim piatzmai, if the fellow, the husband, self-admitted, then he's potter to pay. We figure at this point that he's potter even if the Edom will come after and testify against him. Okay, so this is perfectly in line with our equation. It's exactly what we're discussing today. The Edom could potentially generate knas payment. According to the opinion that the accused could be moed and become potter forever, right? So theoretically, he could get off the hook. He hasn't yet. The Edom should be coming. They refuse to cooperate. It constitutes financial loss, and they're liable. No, says the Gemara, Hamani, Rab Lezer, Birabi Shimoni. This price is not going. According to that Shita, that his admission absolves him forever. No, we're following the other Shita, the Amar, who says, even after his Hidah, the door is still open for the Edom to come and incriminate him. Yavoyu Edom ve'idum. Oh, so according to that Shita, of course the Edom are liable for not coming because it was in their hands to generate this income on my behalf. And there's no question, according to the Shita, that they're chayiv. It's like any other hefsed moment, Ema Seifa. But then how do you explain the second part of this brisa, which says, Hoyda me'at me'pater, that the fellow who did the Hoyda, he's pater, which sounds like he's pater permanently. That's going like the Shitas Rabbanon, who say that he closes the door to any further knas. Asan Rabbanon. No, says the Markula, the entire brisa from beginning to end. In fact, Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon, he's going like the other sheet. V'chikam, and the brisa simply means like this. L'meshkachas l'hoidam b'yatzmi de potter. The only way he can absolve himself by admitting is if he's in luck and no edim show up. L'heicha d'leka edim klal. V'hoidam atzmi. If all we have is his admission, we can't incriminate him based on his admission. But certainly if the edim come afterwards, we can reactivate the whole claim and he'll have to pay. So certainly according to this approach, the edim are liable for not coming. It caused me financial loss. Okay, let's just recap the Mishnah and the Gemara. He called on the edim to come help him with respect to all types of claims, and he itemized them. Their response was just a general denial. They're chayiv only one. If they itemize their denial, whether it pertains to different types of claims or different materials within the same claim, they're chayiv separately one per. What about mashbia edi knas? So we discuss this in great detail. According to Reb Lezer Reb Shimon, there's no question that they're chayiv because ultimately they could still come and they could testify even if he's moedim b'knas. So you caused me loss by not coming. Whereas according to Rabbanon, he could be moedim and get himself off the hook permanently. So your lack of cooperation, your lack of attendance, you meaning the edim, didn't necessarily net me a loss, because if he would have been moedim, he would be potter as well. So that's Gerim Lamomain. And that's an interesting shaila, whether we say, if you say Gerim Lamomain is not really considered Mamain, are they chayiv or not? Mashbiyani Aleichem loy tavoyu, im loy tavoyu v'ta'idu, shani kayin shani levi. So he summons the Edom to come and testify on his behalf, not with respect to a monetary claim, rather with respect to status, to labeling, that I'm a kohen. I want you to tell everybody that I'm a Levi. Shani kohen, shani Levi. She'eni ben grusha, she'eni ben chalutza. I'm a qualified kohen. Rather than being the son of a divorcee who married a kohen, or a woman who went through chalitza married a kohen, which disqualifies me, come testify on my behalf. Or come testify about my friend, that he's a kohen, that he's a Levi, that he's a kosher kohen. She'ish pleni kohen, she'ish pleni Levi. She'eni ben grusha, she'eni ben chalutza. Or come testify that Reuben owes Shimon money, right? Totally not relating to him. That other fellow forced himself with the other fellow's daughter and he has to pay him, or he convinced her. So these are third-party claims, nothing to do with me. Or that my son wounded me, in which case he's chayiv misa. v'shehidlik es kadisha b'shabbos, or my friend did likewise, or he burnt my granary on Shabbos, I want them to pay, since it's accompanied by a chiv misa through bezin, and all these cases are reilu pturim. So that pertains to the last couple. In the previous cases, well, first of all, it wasn't monetarily related, so there's no chiv. Right? Especially if it relates to somebody else. It's also not none of my business. And since, as we learned yesterday, Shavuos Eidos is specific to monetary issues, and provided they were approached, the Eidim were approached by the Baal Din himself, by the interested party himself, by the plaintiff himself, the Teveya. So unless it conforms to that, those guidelines, they are pot. In the second set of cases, we have, please come testify that my friend is a Kohen. Well, they're potter. It appears it's because it's not monetary related. But there's a much more serious issue here. It doesn't relate to me. It's somebody else's business. So why is this even up for discussion? Time of the Ishplani Kohen, Ishplani Levi. It seems like the deficiency is because he's asking about the other fellow being a Kohen, a Levi. Suppose it was money, but it pertains to somebody else, somebody else's claim. Huh? Money will plenty be at plenty. But suppose he approached the Eidim, come testify that other person has a claim against the other person. Right? So come help him in his claim. Huh? Money will plenty be at plenty. It would constitute a violation of Shavuos Eidos Chayavin. Really? But it's lacking that personal element. It doesn't pertain to me. It's none of my business. Haktani Seifa. But if you look later on in the Mishnah, it specifies it must be personal. Ad Shiyishmu M'Pia Teveya. They're not chayiv unless they heard it directly from the Teveya. Amar Shmuel B'Barasha. Mishnah speaking where the other fellow empowered me with the power of attorney to represent him. So then it's my business because I'm representing him. V'amr na'adoy, but na'adoy, they say, lo'kasvinun urchasa. Urchasa means an empowerment, like a power of attorney. We don't do these things. Amatatli. Unless it's property, which is, you know, secure and safe. If it relates to money or other things, the bezin will not sign on to this type of hanamilecha de kafri. That's only when the fellow denied, you know, this monetary claim. So the bezin doesn't want to get involved now. As she says, it looks like a sheker when they sign on that I'm empowering my friend to represent me in this claim. The money is like sort of thin air at this point. He claims he doesn't even, right? He's denying the whole thing. So it looks like something which is not really going to happen, right? I have money in his hands. We don't know where it is. The guy's denying it. So the bezin will not sign on to this thing. Avaloi kafrei kasmina, but if it's not known, it's not been publicized that my opponent is denying my claim. So yeah, we can issue this formal harsha document, and you can empower your attorney to represent you. And that's what happened here. He approached the Eidim on behalf of somebody else. The problem was it did not relate to money. It was Kaya and Levi related issues, which does not conform to Shavuos Eidos. Tan Rabbanan. Oh, this begs the big question. How do we know that in fact Shavuos Eidos is limited to monetary issues? How do we know that the pasuk regarding Shavuos Eidos is strictly related to Tvias Mamon, monetary claims? We have a total of four approaches in this price. We begin with Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer Oymer Nemar Kan Oyin. We have the word Oy repeatedly mentioned in this discussion of Shavuos Eidos. Look at the pasuk. It says, "U'ed oyra oyada." So oyin is a plural for oy. We have the oy multiple times. V'nemar lahalan, and elsewhere we find the same phenomenon. We have the oyin, and many oys. And that's by the psukim of Shavuos HaPikadon. That's where a fellow denies having somebody's item or owing him money. Not item, just, you know, just a plain two people disputing some sort of monetary, you know, issue. So if he turns him down with a shvua, denies it with a shvua, he's chayiv a carbon. So we connect Shavuos Eidos, which has Oyin, to Pikadon, which has Oyin. And we say Malahalon, just like over there. It certainly relates to monetary issues, right? He's turning down a monetary claim. In a Medaber El Tvias Momen, Afkan here as well. In a Medaber El Tvias Momen, we're speaking about non-cooperation of the Edom with respect to a monetary claim. Asks the Gemara, well, if you look around the Torah, you find other instances where the Oy is repeated. Oyin, by the Psukim of Reitzeach. The Reitzeach, Yechichu. Because the Pasuk in describing the murderer has the word Oy as well. Oy be'eva, Oy hishluch alav. Let's connect our story to the Reitzeach, the fellow killed. That will undo this equation. Yechichu. Shein Oyin, we have Oyin over there. U'medabrim, shloi b'tvias mamon. That's certainly not money related. Perhaps Shavuos Eidos doesn't require money either. Answer is, we prefer connecting to Shavuos HaPikadon. There are more similarities between the two. Don and Oyin Shiyeshi Mahin Shavuos. We take Shavuos Eidos, which has A, the element of Oyin. B, there's a Shavuos involved, right? There's an oath. And we connect it to Shavuos HaPikadon, which also features both elements. It has the Oyin, it has a Shavuos. Mi Oyin Shiyeshi Mahin Shavuos, as opposed to Reitzeach. Yeah, you have Oyin, but you don't have the second element. There's no Shavuos involved. V'al-yuchichu Oyin, the Reitzeach, can't disprove from the Reitzeach, she'enim Oyin Shavuos, there's no Shavuos element present. Well, says the Gemara, I discovered another place where we have Oyin, which has Shavuos as well, and does not have anything to do with money, like by the Saita, right? The woman who's strayed, and there's the word Oy repeated there as well. Oy avalav ruach kina, oy, right? Oy in the soita yechichu. Which has both elements that we're looking for. Shein oyin, has the oyin, number one. Ve'eshem en shvua, right? The kohen imposes a shvua on the isha. And it's not money related. U'medabram shloi b'tfias mamun. So why don't you go there? Well, says the Gemara, although it has two elements, but it's missing a third. You see, by shvua se'edis, we have the Oyin, we have the Shavuos. There's no Kohen involved, as opposed to Soita, but there's a Kohen involved. So it's somewhat dissimilar. Don and Oyin, Shiyeshi Mohin Shavuos. Ve'eni Mohin Kohen. We learn the Shavuos Eidos, which is Oy. Yes, Shavuos, no Kohen. We prefer going to Shavuos HaPikadon, which matches it up in all three elements. Ve'oyin, Shiyeshi Mohin Shavuos. Ve'eni Mohin Kohen, as opposed to Reitzeach, which only has one element, has the Oyin without a Shavuos. And the Soita, although it has two elements, but it's lacking the third, because there's a coin involved. Val yuchichu oyin de Reitzeach, again, disproof from the Reitzeach, she'enim oyin shvuah, because it's dissimilar, it doesn't have the shvuah element. And likewise, val yuchichu oyin de Soita, you can't prove anything on the Soita. Sha'af b'she'eshim oyin shvuah, although it has a shvuah, but it's involving a coin, which makes it dissimilar, yeshim oyin coin. So bottom line, according to Belezer, how do we know that shvuah se'edis is strictly monetary related? We connect it to shvuah se'pikadon. Just like there it's money, here it's money as well. Rabbi Akiva Omer, I have another source. V'haya ki yeshem la'achas me'ela, the Torah speaks about a single violation, one of these. We learn, some work, some don't. Some are considered, some aren't. Yesh me'ela shevu chayiv, in some cases they are chayiv, i.e., if it involves some financial matter. V'yesh me'ela shevu potter, in other instances, the Edom who refuse to cooperate are potter. Okay, it said, so how does this work? Tavay moment, if it relates to a monetary claim, Chayiv, they're chayiv, they're achar, otherwise, pater. So basically, the Omer, I'll prove it otherwise. Because the Pasuk in describing, you know, the ability of these individuals to testify, refers to them as follows. How are you, Omer? Who aid? This fellow is an aid, a potential witness. How did he learn the facts of the story? How does he know the, you know, the required information? Oy ra'a, one of two options. Or the aide actually witnessed the scene. He saw the money, you know, changing hands. Or alternatively, he may not have witnessed it firsthand, but he knows. He learned the information. It was admitted, you know, in front of him, etc. Says Rabbi Yisrael Lili, this type of system, meaning learning the facts by way of visual involvement or merely informational, is specific to monetary issues. Be'edus ha'meskayemes b'ri'ya b'lo yediya dinei mamonos. Financial matters can be related to either visually. So the Eidos can be substantiated, can be generated through seeing, b'riya, b'lo yadiyah, sometimes without even realizing all the facts involved. As long as you see it, ubi yadiyah b'lo riya, likewise, by knowing, by finding out, by learning the facts, without actually seeing it. Hakosav medaber, that's what the pasuk is speaking about. The Gemara goes on to present these two possibilities. Riya b'lo yadiyah case, that you have seen without knowing. Mana manis l'cha b'fnei pleni pleni. So Reuven, in conversation with his good friend Shimon, claims, mana manis l'cha b'fnei pleni pleni. Don't you remember I gave you $100 in front of, those two witnesses? So I counted you a mana, which means to say I handed you $100. The other fellow doesn't recall. He questions. He says, you know what? Let's make a deal. You bring those fellows, and they tell us, and they testify, the money is yours. So although they have no insight in terms of the background, the context of why this money was changing hands, they just saw money changing hands. That's all they need to do. Yavayu pleni upleni ve'idu. So the fellow responds by saying, look, let them just come and testify, and it's yours. Here's an example of Eidus, where the Edom learned, absorbed, simply by watching, by visualizing, by seeing, even without necessarily understanding the context, the background. Zuhi ri'yah b'lo yadiyah. Likewise, you have in the reverse, yadiyah b'lo ri'yah ketzad, that you have knowing without seeing. So again, he approached his friend with a claim, mana haydi sali with me plenty, plenty. Remember, you admitted to me that you owe me the money. It was in front of the Edom. So here again, they didn't see, but they know. They have now learned something interesting, that somebody admitted to owing money. And the fellow says, well, good, yavoyu, plenty, plenty, yadiyah, let them come and testify, and I'll give you the money. Here's an example, zuhi, yadiyah, learning the facts, below ri'yah, even without seeing. And these are specific to dinei mamonos. You can't testify, as such with with this limited type of exposure in other types of court cases, dinei nefashos, death penalty issues. So this is specific dinei mamonos, where you can have one or the other, and it's sufficient for you to testify. You saw something, and that could be grounds for financial liability, or you heard something. Hence, Rabbi Yitzchak Lidl learns that this pasuk is specific to dinei mamonos, and only then do we say Shavuos Eidos triggers liability. So we discussed three of four. The fourth one is Reb Shimon coming up tomorrow. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. So again, we have this Mishnah. Specifies a couple of conditions with respect to Shavuos Eidos liabilities. It has to be done personally. It has to be monetary related. And we have several sources that, in fact, Shavuos Eidos is limited to Dinei Mamonos. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.